Okay, brethren, let's turn to John 3. John 3, we'll be loosely looking at verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to begin reading the first two verses of our passage. John 3, verses 1 and 2. We're told that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now there are some good insights that we could look at in these verses and in this text, but one thing that I want us to notice here is that Nicodemus came to the Lord to be taught. He came to Christ as a teacher, as if Christ was a teacher. And the reality is, based on what our Lord said to Nicodemus, moving right on by what Nicodemus said, is that it is obvious that Nicodemus needed salvation. He needed a savior, not a teacher. He needed to hear the word of grace, and he needed to hear the truth. And so our Lord said exactly what he needed to hear, and that's in verse 7, which I think succinctly gets the whole text here, is he said to him five words, ye must be born again. All right, you must be born again. And you that are the Lord's, you that have a hope in Christ, you know, you can teach a righteous man some things. You can spend some time with them that are righteous, and you can teach them some things that our Lord would have us to hear. But a sinner dead in trespasses and sins, they don't need a teacher. They need salvation. They need to first be saved by the Lord. And so, like Nicodemus here, we've got to hear the gospel. We've got to hear what the Lord has to say to us. And like Nicodemus, he says, ye must be born again. It doesn't matter who any of us are, right? It doesn't matter how long we've sat in church. It doesn't matter what reasons we come here for. The truth is, even those who don't go to church services, there's one message for sinners. It's ye must be born again. That is the message that all are to hear. Ye must be born again. And of course, the carnal man, they hear this word and they reject it. It's insulting to the natural man to be told, you must be born again. And they'll despise you when they understand to some degree what you're saying. But the one who's touched by the Spirit, the one who hears what Christ is saying, they'll be thankful that if you're speaking to a friend or one that you care for, one that is important to you, or whoever they are, if you preach Christ faithfully to them and they hear it, they'll be thankful that you remained faithful and exalted Christ rather than saying things to protect yourself or to protect your friendship or to avoid those topics that you know they need to hear, which is, ye must be born again. That really is the truth of what all men and women need to hear. Ye must be born again. And this truth is borne out, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 1:18, that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And that's what we're talking about in that truth that ye must be born again is do we need a Savior? Right? And to them that perish, it's foolishness. But to those, to them which are being saved, it's the power of God. We recognize that our God has saved us and given us life, and that's exactly what we need to hear. And we wouldn't hear it until he made us to hear it. You know, we wouldn't even hear it. So, like Nicodemus, many do come to church, right? They come to church services to be taught. They want to hear things like, well, how am I supposed to live? How am I supposed to love my spouse, right? How is a husband supposed to love his wife, and a wife supposed to submit to her husband or love him and do things in a spirit of love and service, right? How am I to be a good employee? How am I to be a good boss for my employees? How am I to love my neighbor, right? A lot of people come because they think this is salvation. How can I be more moral? How can I do things better or right in society? Right? And the truth is that none of that is what produces salvation. None of that saves us. You can be the most ethical and moral person in the world and still be going to hell for your sins, because it's not our good works that save us. What we need to hear is you must be born again. That's what we need to hear, and the message that the Lord sends out to all. Right? Everyone, that's true of everyone. Whether you're an elect chosen child of God or not, ye must be born again. If you're to be saved, you must be born again. So that word is true for everyone. You must be born again. And so dead religion teaches men and women about, they teach them how to live, right? That's what a lot of people get when they go to church services. How, you know, tweaking or perfecting some little aspect of your life to improve upon it so you can be a better looking Christian, right? And appear to be more of a child of God than the next person. And they may even speak about being born again, right? There's a lot of people that will say, I'm a born again Christian. Well, is there any other kind of Christian in reality, right? Is there any other Christian than a born again Christian? No, all true Christians are born again. They must be born again. So a lot of people are willing to say that they're born again and yet have no idea. They're as clueless and lost about the new birth as Nicodemus was when he heard the Lord say to him, "You must be born again." And that's because many people think that they themselves get themselves born again. Right? We're taught in religion, largely, that when you make a decision for Jesus, that then congratulations, you're born again. Right? When you've made a decision to follow Jesus and to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, that is your salvation. And that's not at all what the scriptures teach. No person gets themselves born again or makes themselves to be born again. Some people would teach, well, you know, you've got to show some signs of repentance before you can be born again, right? And others of us have come up in services where they said, you know, well, with every head bowed and every eye closed, raise your hand if you'd like to give your life to Jesus and make him your Lord, right? And some would have you walk down the aisle and come to a prayer captain, you know, a team leader, that'll help you pray through the Romans Road. And they're good scriptures that they speak of to you, but that's not how a sinner is born again. That's not at all what Christ meant. Ye must be born again, right? He's telling us that we need salvation, and man, like Nicodemus, has no clue how to get himself born again. And right there, that statement is a falsehood, right? Because we don't get ourselves born again. There's nothing we can do to get born again or to be born again. And so the point that I'm getting at is, if your salvation relies on anything that you do, especially your free will, if your salvation finds its hope in your free will, your decision, your choice, you know, I've decided to follow Jesus. If that's your hope, then you're yet in your sins and you have no life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you perish with that as your hope, you'll go to hell and you'll suffer eternity in hell for your sins, because you're yet in your sins, if you're trusting in your own works and in your own will. And so I want to speak to you today about what our Lord said to Nicodemus. I want to look at those five words. The title of the message is, Ye Must Be Born Again. And so largely this message will focus on those five words. Now that comes from verse 7. He said, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So here's the first word, ye. Ye. And that's a personal word, right? The Lord's speaking to each one that hears it. Ye must be born again, right? That's what he's saying, that you can't back into this. You can't be born into it by your parents. You can't get yourself into it by your decision or by someone else making a decision for you or doing things for you. And it's personal. You have to be born again. Otherwise, you have no part in the Lord. And so, you know, you might say, well, I'm a moral person. I'm a good person. And I might say, yeah, you seem like a trustworthy person. But that's not the new birth, right? And you might say, well, I go to church pretty regularly. I go to church a lot. Well, that's not salvation. That's not a sign of the new birth, right? I read my Bible. And I say prayers, and my name's on a church membership roll somewhere. That's not salvation. You must be born again, is what the Lord says. And you know, even if we've been baptized and we tell everybody about the Lord, the fact is, ye must be born again, because all those things are not what makes us saved. They're not what gets us accepted with the Lord. And so, when you think about it, Nicodemus, he was a fine churchman. He was a leader among the Jews. He was likely in the Sanhedrin, those people that would hear the hard cases and make decisions on religious arguments and concerns in the church and among the people. He was an important person, and yet Christ said, ye, Nicodemus, must be born again. And so it doesn't matter what our background is or what our pedigree is or how much we know the scriptures, the Lord says, ye must be born again. Right? It's not for other people, it's for each one of us individually to hear that word, myself included. Then he says, must, right? The second word is must, ye must. And first, that signifies to us that there is no other salvation than what the Lord is revealing now to his people. Ye must be born again. There's not many roads that lead to God. There's not, well, that's good for you, this is good for me. There's one way. There's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then must is also revealing to us the urgency of it. You must be born again. There's a limit to the day of grace for each of us, right? We all are going to die at some point. And he's saying, you must be born again. If you die without this new birth, then you have no part in the Lord. And so there is a certain urgency to it for us to hear what the Lord is saying to us. Then he says, be. Ye must be born again. And this is a passive word, right? It's not something that you get. He doesn't say you must get born again or you must, you know, do something to get yourself born again. He says ye must be born again. So it's passive. It's a passive word, meaning that there's something that's done to you. Right? You're the passive recipient of something that the Lord must do for you and to you. Right? He works salvation for you and in you is what the Lord does. And so, you know, a good comparison is to think about your first birth, your natural birth. Right? You have as much to do with your spiritual birth, because this is what we're talking about, a spiritual birth. You have as much to do with that birth as your first birth. Right? Dad, Mom, I'm ready. Let's get this thing. I've decided that I want to be born. All right? Did any of us do that and plan our first birth and decide that we're the ones that are going to be born? No, none of us did that. That was all a work of God who created us and worked all that out providentially in the perfect time of his appointing. Well, so it is with the second birth. We don't decide when we're going to be born again. It's a work of God. Paul would write in Romans 9:16, "So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." All right? And so that's what the second birth is. You must be, right? It's a passive word as far as we're concerned. It's something that God does for us and in us. And so what we see in the scripture is that the Lord keeps telling us over and over again that we can't get ourselves saved. There's nothing we do to effect this or to make this happen or to improve our chances for it happening. It really is all of sovereign God. It's according to his will and work. I like how I heard Darwin say it, I think it was actually yesterday, I think, and he was saying that children of God are the children of God by the will of God. It's God's will that determines who his children are. And man's dead religion teaches that the children of God are the children of God by my will. I decide whether I'm going to be a child of God or not. Right? The two aren't saying the same thing. One is of God and one is of man. And so we're the children of God by the will of God. If we're his children, it's his will. It's his work. It's his salvation. All right? And so the scriptures are always teaching us and always attributing our salvation and our hope to God himself and what he himself does in the time and choosing of his own will and purpose. All right? And so Titus 3:4-6, I'll read this. Paul affirms this, saying, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done," right? Not by my raising my hand or walking the aisle or making a decision to let God save me, to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. That's not at all how I'm saved. It's not by my works of righteousness which I've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, right? He did the work when it pleased him, in the manner it pleased him, all for the glory and praise of his name. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. All right, and so we see there again, this, wow, it sounds like God's doing everything. He's doing all the work here, and I'm not doing anything. I'm just a passive recipient of his grace and mercy. Yes, that's exactly it. And so then at this time, normally a person who's, you know, only heard that it everything's resting on their decision, their faith, their works, right? A lot of people say, well, I thought that you have to believe on Jesus for him to save you. I thought you have to believe on him. And it is true, we must believe on him because that's the will of God for his people, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, many who have been trained in dead religion, they're wondering, well, what part does my faith play in this? What part does my belief on Christ play in my salvation? What do I do in order to affect this birth of happening? And you know what the Lord's saying to us is there's nothing you can do because you can't believe except God give it to us. So the scriptures, that it is true that they speak of believers having faith in Christ. That is something that believers do. They believe Christ, they hope in him and trust in him, but we don't speak of it as our contribution, as something that's the product of this flesh, right? Because when we make it our decision to follow Christ or not, what we're saying is, I've decided to follow Jesus. This is my faith of my flesh. It's the product of me. that recognized I need to get in this salvation here, as opposed to my neighbor, you know, who doesn't believe and doesn't see the need for Christ. You see, and so there's this boasting of the flesh that has confidence in their believing, rather than seeing our faith as the work of God. It's the gift of God. It's something that he works in his people through his salvation by Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit that bears that fruit of faith, that spiritual work of faith. God bears it in you. And we give him thanks when we look to Christ and have no other hope but him. Who do we have to thank for that faith but God himself? Because we know my flesh is corrupt and weak and vile. And there's a lot of faith in the world, right? Disney speaks of faith all the time. But that's not saving faith. The faith I need is the faith that God produces in his children that looks to Jesus Christ alone. And I can't give myself any pat on the back for that faith because it's a gift of his grace and mercy. And so what the Lord is teaching in his word is that faith isn't the cause of your salvation. Faith is rather the result of your salvation. It comes forth because God has done a work in you. You don't realize it yet, but you're already eternally his. You that believe on him and hope in him, you're already eternally his. He did everything in love and mercy and grace for you while as yet we were yet enemies against God in our hearts and minds. That deep-rooted enmity, that deep-rooted hatred, that's what's in us naturally. But God, in spite of who we are in Adam and who we are by nature, he chose a people. He loved them in Christ. He gave them to Christ, committed them, and determined to do the whole work because we're dead in trespasses and sins in this flesh and can't save ourselves. We can't keep the law. And that's what the Lord said in John 3:3. The Lord answered Nicodemus and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." How is he going to have faith in that which he can't even see or understand? Except God give him life first and bring forth that fruit by his grace. And so much of man's religion puts that cart before the horse because they can't understand that their faith is a work of God. It's his product. Listen to this or go to Ephesians 1 verse 19. Ephesians 1 19. And there he says, you know, we that are his people, we're going to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. All right, and much religion says, see, there's man, he has to believe first, and God then is gracious to him. But what he says there, if you continue on, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? That is, we believe according to the working of his mighty power. So we're going to witness and bear witness and see the greatness of our God's mercy toward us through this faith, which is according to his mighty working power in us. It's all his work that's producing this faith that looks to Christ and believes him, rests in him, and rejoices in him, as we saw earlier this morning. And so that's what our believing is. It's according to his working, the working of his mighty power. All right, and since you're in Ephesians, look at Ephesians 2:8. We see it there. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And so you that must be born again, he's working all things necessary. You cannot fail. Because God cannot fail. We fail in ourselves in the flesh, but God cannot fail. And those whom he loves, they shall come because it's his will. And he shall bear fruits of righteousness in you. All right, as we also see in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we rejoice in his work. You know, he says over in Romans 7, he speaks of this early in the chapter of Romans 7. He says, "Wherefore, my brethren," verse 4, "ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Right? And so this fruit of faith, which looks to Christ alone, it's holy fruit. It's born of his seed. We're not coming as adulterers who bear fruit by the law or bear fruit by this flesh. We come as faithful to our husband because he's made us faithful in him, and we bear his fruit. Those are his children. That's his rejoicing. And the Father receives those things because they're his works in him. And we give him thanks for that. We rejoice in him for his salvation. All right? And then that word born. You must be born again. So this birth is the operation of God. It's his faithful work in us. It's his gift by his sovereign power upon each of his children. Right? He gives us eternal life by his power. And so this gift, this birth, this second birth, is not a gift which comes to all. It's given freely by God himself. It's given freely to us by God through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us. He's our salvation, and he gives us life in him. And it's a sovereign choice and will of God. Not a sovereign will and choice of man. It's his sovereignty, right? And so this new birth is compared to a creation. We're created anew in Christ. We're new creatures, right? He says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so he works that in us. And so we're created anew in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. And then he says, again, you must be born again. And so he's talking about, you've been born in the flesh, your parents, you know, they came together and you were born of the flesh. You need a second birth. You and I need a second birth, a spiritual birth. And what he's teaching us is that it comes from above. It doesn't come from, it's not initiated from below, it comes from above by God. In James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, we're told that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And this is a gift of salvation. It all comes from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will, see, his will begat he us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so we're born in the time that it pleases God according to his purpose. And so we understand it now by his power and his glory. We understand that in Adam, we only could do fleshly things, limited by what we are in Adam. But by God's gift of grace and by his power and spirit, he gives us that gift of life in him, whereby we bear those fruits looking to our Savior. Right? And so we may have been very religious. You know, we may have been very good people and maybe are good people in the flesh as far as man counts goodness. But we're only sinners in this flesh. And in Adam, we come forth in the image of our parents, which is corrupt and sinful, and come short of the glory of God and the right, perfect righteousness and holiness that he requires. And so if God doesn't do work for us, then we shall never be saved in our own works. Even the best one among us, as perfect as they may seem to us, they come short of the glory of God outside of Christ and have no part in him. All right, and so we need that second birth. Nicodemus asked, "Well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And that just shows that we don't get it in the flesh. As religious as we are, as advanced as we are in religion, we just don't understand the things of God. And so in Adam, at best, we are children of disobedience, making us children of wrath. But by Christ, through the faith which he works in us, we are children of promise and hear his promises and rejoice in those promises. All right, and so Christ affirms in verse 5 and 6 of John 3, he answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." And so the most important thing you can take away from that is that if faith is of this flesh, well, Christ said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So all we can do is effect a fleshly work. But that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so if this new birth is a spiritual birth, it's got to come from God. It's got to come from our Father in heaven. And it's a spiritual work. And it means that faith, that saving faith, is a spiritual work of him and not of us. And, you know, carnal man, like Nicodemus, doesn't understand. And that's because they don't have the spirit to understand the things of God. As he says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so in the flesh, we can do a lot of religious things and things that give the appearance that we're a child of God. Right? We can reform our lives. We can stop doing certain things and start doing other things. And we can make a profession that we're believers and tell others about it. And we can be baptized and we can get our name on a voter roll and we can do many things. You could be a pastor and not be born again. Right? Any one of us can put on a good show and try to convince ourselves or convince others that we are who we want to be or who we claim to want to be, who we would like to be. But that's all by our own flesh. That's all by our own choosing and making. But Christ said, you cannot see the kingdom of God except you be born again. So ye must be born again. All right? You must be born of the Spirit of God. Now, what the Lord is saying to us in speaking to Nicodemus is that our God has to do a work for you and in you. And that work for you was done by the redemption that Christ worked for you. When Christ came in the flesh, he had to purchase all his people by the death of himself. He fulfilled all righteousness for his people. He was born under the law, made of a woman under the law to work all righteousness and to do that which we have failed and come short of doing. And being the perfect sacrifice, the fit sacrifice for his people, he went as the Lamb of God to the cross to lay down his life, to sacrifice himself to the Father to make atonement, to make propitiation for our sins, meaning that he died in our place that we should live in him and go free from the punishment that our sins deserved. Christ accomplished that for his people. And because he accomplished that for his people, the Father regenerates his people by the Holy Spirit. He sends the gift of the Holy Spirit to give life in you, to work that salvation in you, to regenerate you, we call it, to give you life by the seed of Christ, so that the Spirit takes the blood of Christ and washes you clean, and he calls you through his gospel, and he reveals faith in you whereby you hear his word and believe, Lord, you did that for me, a guilty sinner, a vile, wretched sinner. You did that for me, Lord. And so he reveals that in you, that this is your hope, and that you have no other hope but Christ. And he settles you and gives you comfort right there. And he grows you in that grace and faith, that is your understanding and your knowledge of these things. You grow in that knowledge all by his power. But it didn't start from a seed of your flesh, your flesh's faith. It started from his faith, which he revealed in you by the glory and power of himself. So that's why we say it's for you and in you. All right. And so all this work, when Christ said ye must be born again, know that there's nothing we did can do or will do to earn that birth. And we can't get ourselves born. He reveals it in you, what he's done for you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray that he works that faith in you, giving you a hunger and a thirst for Christ, to know that there's nothing you can do to get yourself saved or born again. But those who ask, who seek him, they do so by his grace. And so those who are seeking him, they shall find him, because it's all his work and to the glory of his praise that they seek him. And so I pray the Lord bless you, his people, that he's gathering you by his grace, and that he reveals his work in you through the faith which he gives to all his children, whereby they lay hold of his promises and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray he bless that word to your hearts and help you to hear what Nicodemus couldn't hear, that you must be born again.